You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Here, you'll find answers to your questions about the Christian faith, the Bible, and trends in the church today, because truth matters. Hank is ready to take your calls, so get your place in line and join us on the show. Just call 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. In just a few moments, we will go to your calls live, but I want to talk about sex with Ellen Dykus before we do that. And even before talking to Ellen, I want to ask you a question. What do you see in your mind's eye when the word sex is mentioned? Do you see an image of Lady Gaga? A James Bond movie? Cosmopolitan? Or does your mind immediately flash from sex to Scripture? Because trust me, when it comes to sex, Playboy can't hold a candle to the Word of God. And if you think that's an overstatement, just read a few pages out of the Song of Solomon. Sex might be the most commonly used word on the internet search engines, but it originated with God. In the beginning, God created sex. And remember, he called his creation very good. And God did not just ordain sex for procreation. He originated sex for the purpose of pleasure. Sexual pleasure was an intentional part of God's divine design, not a serendipitous byproduct. God, of course, could have made sex merely functional, but he didn't. He made it to be a thrilling, passionate act, full of potential for physical delight. But tragically, what the Creator purposed to be pristine and pure, the creation has prostituted and perverted. And that is precisely what Ellen Dykus addresses in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. It's an incredible article titled "Sexual Sanity for Women in a World Gone Mad." And I'm very happy that she wrote this article because women are struggling with sexual insanity just as men are struggling with sexual insanity. The difference is we're aware of the problem with men and oftentimes not as aware with respect to women. And therefore, the problems are not dealt with by the church in a forthright manner. Ellen Dykus is, she serves as Women's Ministry Coordinator for Harvest USA. It's a national ministry that exists to help men, women, and families affected by sexual struggles and sin, to equip churches to minister to sexually broken people. And I can't think of a more pertinent, appropriate, and timely subject than this subject in the Christian Research Journal. By the way, if you have not subscribed, you can subscribe online in a safe, secure fashion. We do have a special offer code. It's summer. Use the special offer code SUMMER and receive the current edition of the Christian Research Journal free, plus six more issues for only $34.50. You can subscribe online at equip.org. Ellen, it is good to have you with us.
Thanks, Hank. It's really a delight to be able to be on your show today.
I want to have you start by defining what you mean by sexual insanity.
Well, I think one way to look at that, it would be just, as you mentioned, that the free-for-all that is happening in the world around us and actually that we're seeing more and more in the body of Christ, when people are going outside of God's good design, we could look at that as one way of looking at what would be sexual sanity, living within the wisdom of God's gracious guardrails. And so insanity would be really any of us stepping outside of those boundaries that God has set up, not only for His glory, but for our flourishing.
Yeah, that's one of the things I think people mistake. They think God is some kind of a sexual, cosmic killjoy, when in fact He sets those parameters around our lives so that our joy might in fact be complete.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And you've written in the article that pastors and Christian counselors affirm what we already know, and that is sexual sin, but no one seems to be able to offer practical help to change. How so?
Well, you know, and first I would want to say that I wouldn't say that no one knows how to offer change. I mean, in the article I referenced a woman I had met with who actually had been wrestling with homosexuality for over 2 decades, and she had gone and sought help over and over and wasn't really able to find someone that could help her apply the truths of Scripture in a way that were practical, that were where her feet was hitting the pavement of earth, in a sense, to help her understand how to turn away from temptation, but also how to understand who she is in Christ. How does that make a difference in her desires, in her relationships? And I mean, I'll just go ahead and add in that what we find in our ministry is so often people can be very intimidated to apply the richness of discipleship principles that they already know, but they can feel intimidated to apply those to people wrestling in areas of sexuality. But it's really, you know, the gospel truth applies to all areas of life, including our sexuality.
I want to read a quote that you have in the article. Within sexual married sex, within marriage, sex is more satisfying than anything the world offers as a sexually attractive substitute. Then you say, like a fire, or at least the quote, like a fire inside a fireplace, it provides light and warmth, but outside the right context, sex can destroy, like an unextinguished cigarette can burn down a huge forest. And I think this is a really important quote. The reason being that I find more and more, particularly among youth, there is this idea, no harm, no foul. Which is to say, it's not a big thing. It's recreational. It's not really harming anyone. It was just an experience I had last night.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, and we know from the truth of God's word and being image bearers of Him that isn't true, that a sexual expressing ourselves sexually, it does have a spiritual, emotional, mental impact on us. And we see that over and over with people who are married, and they're married to someone that together they are seeking to love the Lord in the midst of their marriage, and yet continuing to deal with the harvest that has come in from past experiences. And, you know, another way of looking at this is to say that, you know, God is our Father, and this is His world, and His truth is always true. And going back to those guardrails, when we step outside of those guardrails, His grace will cover us, but there will be consequences. And, you know, in saying that, I don't want to, we definitely do not use scare tactics here at Harvest USA, but we also speak the truth in love, and that is that there can be ramifications that do come in when we step outside of God's design.
I love what you say in the article, sex is a deeply spiritual activity. It unites two people's beings, not just bodies, but beings in a way that is profound and powerful. This is one of the reasons why God lovingly commands for it to be contained within a lifelong committed relationship. It is far too precious to be shared broadly, casually, or selfishly. Cash that out.
Yeah, well, we see in Scripture that, as you said a little bit earlier, that God has designed that sexual intimacy in marriage between a husband and a wife who are in a committed covenant relationship, that the sexual relationship would be something that is pleasurable. But we also know that there is a profound spiritual meaning that God has given to sexual activity, because it does bond two people together in a way that is meant to that is meant to image back to the reality of Christ relating to his people. We see that in Ephesians 5. And try as we might, we cannot divorce the sexual, physical activity from the profound spiritual meaning that God has given to it. And so non-believers or believers are acting out sexually in all kinds of ways outside of what God has intended. But that, again, is going to have those ramifications because God has meant for it to have a powerful impact according to his, according to the purpose that he's given to it.
Let's talk about some of these sexual behaviors outside of God's design. One of them that comes to mind, it's a sidebar in the journal on the 50 Shades of Grey. What is the attraction and what's wrong with it, and why are so many Christian women reading these series?
Yeah, well, first of all, for any of the listeners that may not be familiar with this trilogy of books, and I'll put it out there, I have not read the trilogy of books myself, and I do not intend to, but it's a romance novel that emphasizes a certain genre of sexual activity we might call it that utilizes things like violence, humiliation, and things like that. It's couched in a love story. It's couched in the story of a older man and a younger woman coming together, and her helping him, and all a whole variety of things. And again, I'm saying this from things I've read about the books because I will not read the books. The draw, I'm assuming, is probably what the draw is of a lot of things that we see in entertainment these days, whether if it's in print form or on primetime TV. There's romance to it. There's a pursuit and a cherishing that is somehow woven into it. And as I understand it, and as I've read a lot of blog posts by Christian women, I think that is the draw, that it's a love story, that it's a story of a woman helping a man, of caring for a man. But where this gets really dangerous is when that is normalizing sexual activity or a certain type of sexual activity that in no way images the relationship between Christ and his people. And that is, again, a part of what Paul is saying in Ephesians 5, that there is a profound mystery that the relationship between a husband and wife is meant to point to, that is Christ and his people. And that includes sexual relationship, which we have been very uncomfortable a lot of times even talking about that, but that is a part of what God has designed. And so the 50 Shades of Grey is an example of saying a man and a woman can love each other, call it love, and do whatever they want. That's absolutely not what God would say.
Let me ask you about a solo sex or masturbation. What's your take on that?
Well, my take on that is that it's something that a lot of women are struggling with, single and married. I've talked with lots of women who wrestle with this. It is an expression of what we would call broken sexuality, and I use that term broken because of God's original design being broken or not being experienced as he would have us to. But solo sex does not fall, again, inside those gracious guardrails that God has given. It's sex is meant to be relational. Masturbation is intensely selfish. It is a person satisfying themselves. The sexual relationship between a husband and a wife is meant to be something that where you are selflessly serving each other in the context of an intimate bond of commitment. Masturbation is, again, it's completely isolated from relationship to another person. It's a relationship to yourself. And so I do want to say, along with this, is that there's also so much shame that, and again, the article is written for women, so I'll address women. There's so much shame that a lot of women feel when this has been a temptation or perhaps an ongoing habitual sin struggle in their life. It's also an area that is absolutely within the reach of Jesus Christ and the gospel. It is one of those habitual patterns that God gives us wisdom to know how to turn away from and to increasingly be free from over time.
We're talking to Ellen Dykus. She serves as Women's Ministry Coordinator for Harvest USA. It's a national ministry that exists to help men, women, and families affected by sexual struggles and sin, and to equip churches to minister to sexually broken people. I want to hold Ellen over, if possible, to the next segment. We are going to go to your calls in just a few moments, but I have some other questions to ask Ellen, particularly with respect to sexualized friendships and homosexual relationships. I want to talk about that right after the break. Again, all of this dealt with in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. It's an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. You can subscribe today and receive the current edition free of charge. You can subscribe on the World Wide Web in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, you can talk to our resource consultants as well, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. I'll be back in just a few moments with Ellen Dykus, and then as well with your calls live right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. By the way, your calls do not have to be limited to this subject. You can call 888-ASK-HANK. Be back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
In a world spiraling into a sexual free-for-all, many Christian women are succumbing to the cultural insanity that says sex is all about you. Others are smothered in shame concerning their sexual struggles. But in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal, noted Christian counselor Ellen Dykus helps women find sexual sanity through the wise, unashamed, bold teaching of the Bible. Start your subscription to the journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Don't go away. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will be right back. Have you ever wanted to listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast on your phone or handheld device? Now you can with the Equip iPhone app available for free from the Christian Research Institute. With the Equip iPhone app, you can take the Bible Answer Man with you wherever you go. Listen to the broadcast live, listen to archived programs, 3-minute Ask Hank features, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. All of this available for free from the Christian Research Institute. So go online to equip.org and click on the Equip iPhone app banner and download this free app today. Or go to equip.org/app. That's equip.org/app. The Equip iPhone app is compatible with iPhone 5, iPhone 4, 4S, 3GS, iPad, iPod Touch, and requires iOS 6. Did you know that June is one of the most important months for the Bible Answer Man broadcast? That's because we close out another financial year, and to do so successfully, we must receive $650,000 in gifts from friends like you by June 30th. So if the Bible Answer Man broadcast has helped equip you in your walk with Christ, please help us reach this critical goal through your gift today. With your gift, you'll help CRI impact more lives with His truth and equip Christians as true disciples of Christ. Your gift matters. CRI is entirely supported by people like you who share our sense of urgency to equip all Christians to give an answer for the hope we have. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI, or you can give online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In a world spiraling into a sexual free-for-all, many Christian women are succumbing to the cultural insanity that says sex is all about you. Others are smothered in shame concerning their sexual struggles. How can women find sexual sanity in a world gone mad? Other topics include how the West really got lost, video games and Christians, can God fit in this machine? Deepak Chopra's Cosmic Enlightenment, a remarkable summary critique of Alex Rosenberg's book, The Atheist's Guide to Reality, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. On June 30th, CRI will come to a very critical deadline. That date is the end of our financial year and the deadline to receive $650,000 so we can continue to reach people who are desperately searching for the hope and truth found in God's Word. So I hope you'll go to the phone right now and call 888-7000-CRI with your generous gift. That's 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Help CRI end our financial year strong, ready to reach listeners like Rod, who recently shared on Facebook, "You have helped me to have a greater love and understanding of God's Word." Now here's Hank Hanegraaff with more of the answers you need today.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we are talking about an article by Ellen Dykus in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal titled "Sexual Sanity for Women in a World Gone Mad." Ellen is she serves as Women's Ministry Coordinator for Harvest USA. It's a national ministry that exists to help men, women, and families affected by sexual struggles and sin, and to equip churches to minister to sexually broken people. I want to read a quote from the article, Ellen, and have you comment, because this relates to what I suggested just before the break, which is your comments on sexualized friendships and homosexual relationships. You write, "A sobering component of my ministry to married women is helping them in their battle against the creeping nature of past sexual experiences on their marital sexual relationship. For them, masturbation was easier than trusting their husband and learning to work at knowing each other sexually. Memories of sex with others or the stick-to-the-brain power of pornographic images don't wash away easily. Many women have shared with me that emotional and sexual entanglements experienced with female friends had such an intoxicating influence on them that growing into oneness with their husbands had been painfully difficult." Again, this in context of sexualized friendships and homosexual relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, in bringing that into the article, I mean, as I said, I have gotten to just journey with a lot of women that has been their experience. It might have been in light of the sexualized friendships. And in fact, I have gotten to meet with a lot of young adult women who perhaps as teens, maybe college students or younger, had a friendship with another young woman, a best friend or a very close friend, and it began to become what I refer to as romanticized and sexualized. And that, you know, same gender relating in most situations is a lot easier than relating to the opposite gender. And there's something about that emotional connecting, that expressing that in a physical or sexual way seems to feel right. When somebody continues to walk in that kind of a pattern of relating, it's very easy for it to even to begin to make assumptions about, I wonder if this is who I am. So I'm probably going even a little bit beyond what your question was, Hank, but I'll just say this, that I've had so many women that has been their experience, single and married, who wouldn't have necessarily even ever referred to themselves as gay or same-sex attracted, but they had one certain friendship that crossed over those lines that seemed to begin to lay down a pattern that they desired to continue in.
But how hard is it for you to speak about issues like this when so many in the Christian church are asking the question, "What's your problem, Ellen?" I mean, these two women, they love each other, they're attracted to one another, they're not hurting anybody by that relationship, they seem to be satisfied in that relationship, so again, what's your problem?
Mm. Well, I respond to that with a lot of prayer and hopefully gracious humility, because I myself am a woman that it gets tempted into Jeremiah 2:13, turning away from the Lord, the fountain of living water, and seeking to find life in my own self dug out wells, whether that's with people or whatever it might be. And I bring that up, Hank, related to the question that you're asking, because, you know, when God summarized the sins, the variety of sins his people had committed, he said two things they've done. They've turned away from me, that would include turning away from God's word, God's design, and they've gone out and tried to make their own way. So the way I respond to that, to answer you very specifically, is I want to engage them in their question. I want to find out how they've come to their conclusions related to same-sex relationships. But eventually, we're going to have to go back to the Lord as loving Lord and loving Creator. And our Creator has given a design for how we're to relate to one another as same gender or opposite gender. He's given a design for how we are to express ourselves or withhold from expressing ourselves sexually. And God lays out very clearly how I am to relate to other women as a friend, a sister in Christ, maybe a spiritual mother, maybe a mentor, maybe a mentee. But there's no place in God's word where you ever see God blessing a same-sex romantic or sexual relationship. You just won't find it there.
Well, what about the idea that maybe the word of God is just outdated?
Well, then we come down to biblical apologetics. And honestly, that's what I've been talking about a lot with people recently, is that is one of those areas where I believe that Christians who are wanting to be strongly rooted in a biblical perspective, we are going to need to learn more and more a robust way of sharing how God's word is authoritative and that it is never going to be outdated. His word is eternal and it remains, and that includes all of his teachings about his design.
Yeah, beautifully stated. I mean, I think that's what it gets down to, being able to demonstrate that the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin. And if it is, then we ought to live within the parameters that God sets forth for us to live within, because he has constructed us. He knows precisely how we're designed, and therefore the roiling opinions of political correctness never trump the Word of God, the designer. I really appreciate you, Ellen, and the article you wrote for the Christian Research Journal. Thank you so much for your contribution on the broadcast today.
Thank you so much, Hank, and thank you for allowing me to just even address these issues related to women. That is a tremendous blessing to me personally.
Well, it was a much-needed article, and we're just thrilled with it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Hank.
God bless you, Ellen. And again, the article is in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. The journal, as mentioned in the first segment today, is an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. There's a special offer code that you can find on the web. It's simply SUMMER. And when you use the special offer code SUMMER, you'll receive the current edition of the Christian Research Journal free when you subscribe to six more issues. Again, you can subscribe online at equip.org on the World Wide Web. Of course, as always, you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by that number, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Some of you hanging on already. Again, we'll be taking your calls live throughout this broadcast. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Let's go first to Ava in Raleigh, North Carolina, listening on WPJL. Hi, Ava.
Hi. Yesterday, I said to a lady, Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God. And then she said back to me, that is your opinion. Then she went into this unity thing that God is everything. And how do I respond back to her?
Well, it's kind of what Ellen Dykus and I were talking about at the end of our interview, and that is that you have to be able to demonstrate that the Bible is a reliable authority. And if it is, then we have God's revelation of himself to us in the Word of God, and his revelation is very, very clear. It is clear in the sense that there is only one God, but that one God is revealed in three persons, that is, personal self-distinctions within the Godhead. And those self-distinctions never change. In other words, the Father never becomes the Son, and the Son never becomes the Holy Spirit. And they are personal self-distinctions. Therefore, we can relate to God on a personal level. But certainly the Bible is very clear with respect to Jesus Christ being the Son of God, which is a way of saying that Jesus Christ is ontologically or by nature or essence equal to God. Now, Jesus claimed to be God. The Bible's emphatic about that. Secondly, the Bible claims that Jesus Christ is God. And thirdly, the credentials of Christ back up his claim to deity. He was one who demonstrated supernatural authority over sickness, over disease, over nature, over angels, even over death, thus demonstrating that he is God in human flesh. And that is precisely what the Bible says. All the fullness of deity dwelt in Jesus Christ, or dwells in Jesus Christ in bodily form.
Okay, thank you so much.
You got it. And I have written about this in Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine, which is a flip chart which lays out the essentials of the historic Christian faith. And I've said this before, it bears repeating, virtually every single theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God. Again, the doctrine's flip chart, available. You can find it on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Jenny, Frisco, Texas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Hank. So nice to talk with you. My question is about something that my brother has been hearing from Christians in his area. He is not a Christian. I am a Christian, and he called me with this concern question. He said that he had heard that if people do good works and they don't do it in the name of Jesus Christ, then they're doing the work of the devil. And I told him I didn't think that sounded right, but I couldn't say any particular scripture or anything. I thought of the passage in Isaiah about all our good works are like filthy rags. But what would you say in that regard?
Well, I would say you're absolutely right. I mean, good works are good works, and therefore there are people who are doing good works, giving a cup of water in the name of Jesus Christ, but there are also people who are giving a cup of cold water to someone who needs it in the name of humanitarian purposes. But it is still a good deed. Now, we can never achieve eternal life through our good deeds because we can never do enough good deeds, nor do we do deeds out of selfless or purely selfless motives. I mean, we work out of a big mixed bag of Moses, even as believers. And that is why we as believers say that we are those who have been saved by God's grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ alone, which is to say that we are covered by the spotless robes of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we ourselves remain sinners, and even the good deeds that we do are done with a sin nature, but we are positionally declared righteous because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So we should not disdain good deeds, nor should we turn our nose up at them. Whether they're done by pagans or Christians, they are yet good deeds, and we should applaud that. But we should also be those that can communicate to a lost and searching world that no one is perfect, no, not one, and therefore we need the perfection of Jesus Christ so that we can ultimately be reconciled to a God, not only for time, but also for eternity. Be right back with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK.
This month is very important here at the Christian Research Institute as we come to the end of our financial year on June 30th. By this date, we need to receive $650,000 in support to finish strong and be prepared for another year of life-changing ministry. So we're asking friends like you to help us meet this crucial goal through a gift today. Please call 888-7000-CRI to give. That's 888-7000-CRI, or you can give online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Thanks for giving to reach more listeners like Edward, who recently shared on Facebook, You are so needed with all the false teaching out there. We need the truth. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In a world spiraling into a sexual free-for-all, many Christian women are succumbing to the cultural insanity that says sex is all about you. Others are smothered in shame concerning their sexual struggles. How can women find sexual sanity in a world gone mad? Other topics include how the West really got lost, video games and Christians, can God fit in this machine? Deepak Chopra's Cosmic Enlightenment, a remarkable summary critique of Alex Rosenberg's book, The Atheist's Guide to Reality, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Did you know that June is one of the most important months for the Bible Answer Man broadcast? That's because we close out another financial year, and to do so successfully, we must receive $650,000 in gifts from friends like you by June 30th. So if the Bible Answer Man broadcast has helped equip you in your walk with Christ, please help us reach this critical goal through your gift today. With your gift, you'll help CRI impact more lives with His truth and equip Christians as true disciples of Christ. Your gift matters. CRI is entirely supported by people like you who share our sense of urgency to equip all Christians to give an answer for the hope we have. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or you can give online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Have you ever wanted to listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast on your phone or handheld device? Now you can with the Equip iPhone app available for free from the Christian Research Institute. With the Equip iPhone app, you can take the Bible Answer Man with you wherever you go. Listen to the broadcast live, listen to archived programs, 3-minute Ask Hank features, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. All of this available for free from the Christian Research Institute. So go online to equip.org and click on the Equip iPhone app banner and download this free app today. Or go to equip.org/app. That's equip.org/app. The Equip iPhone app is compatible with iPhone 5, iPhone 4, 4S, 3GS, iPad, iPod Touch, and requires iOS 6. As you may know by now, CRI ends its financial year at the end of this month, which means we just have a few days to receive $650,000 in gifts from friends like you if we are to finish the year on target, ready to reach more people searching for the truth and to equip Christians to be true disciples of Christ. So call 888-7000-CRI with your gift to help CRI reach this important goal. That's 888-7000-CRI, or, of course, you can visit equip.org. Please give generously to help CRI reach more people like Chandra, who shared with us, "I can always turn to you knowing I'll hear you teaching truth without fear." Now, back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much. And just a couple of notes in terms of my speaking engagements. I'm going to be at Cross Church Apologetics Conference. That will be July 19th and 20th. You can check out details on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And then I'll be speaking at the Fall Vision Banquet for Utah Partnerships for Christ and AM 820. That banquet will be held on Saturday, July 27th from 6 to 9 at the Castle in Layton, Utah. For more details, again, you can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And then the following day, Sunday, July 28th, I'll be speaking at South Mountain Community Church in Utah. I'll be speaking at the morning worship services at the two campuses, Draper and South Jordan, near Salt Lake City. For more information, you can dial the church, 801-501-7711. Pretty good number. 801-501-7711, or just check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Let's go right back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Sean next in Chattanooga, Tennessee, listening on WCRV. Hi, Sean.
Hello, sir. I just have a question about what seems to me a very unusual teaching. I guess you're familiar. I don't know how long it's been around or where it originated, but it's called hyper or ultra dispensationalism, and it seems to be a doctrine that says that only the writings of Paul are what we get our instructions for salvation from today.
Yeah, that's right. And that the church actually was revealed exclusively in Paul's later writings. Now, there are various permutations of ultra-dispensationalism, but that's the basic idea. The basic idea is just flat wrong, though. It is flat wrong on a lot of counts because the whole notion in dispensationalism in general is that the church is a parenthesis in the plan of God. In fact, you have people like Tim LaHaye, who is the standard bearer for dispensationalism today, saying that the church was an unrevealed mystery in the Old Testament, and then that Israel and not the church will fulfill her national destiny as a separate entity after the rapture and tribulation and during the millennium. But as should be self-evident, this invention is not the product of faithful illumination of the Bible. It's the byproduct of a fertile imagination. The very notion that the Old Testament prophets did not see the valley of the church, which, in his words, did not exist before its birth at Pentecost and will come to an abrupt end at the rapture, is just false. The Old Testament prophets not only saw the valley of the church, they announced it. In fact, Peter, speaking after the birth of the church at Pentecost, couldn't have said it any more plainly. This is what he said: all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days. What is neither seen nor announced by the prophets is the notion that the New Testament church, which was birthed at Pentecost, would come to an abrupt end at the rapture. In other words, the bottom line is that the notion that the church is merely a parenthesis in the plan of God has no biblical backbone or backing whatsoever. So the whole notion is just a flatly false notion, regardless of whether you see this as ultra-dispensationalism or hyper-dispensationalism or just plain old dispensationalism. It's just all wrong.
I appreciate that, sir, because it's concerned me. There is a station in my area here in Chattanooga that is constantly promoting it, and it just seems like heresy. I don't know if that's too strong a word for it.
Well, I do think it is too strong a word for it. I mean, I am strongly opposed to the notion. And I think the notion is plainly unbiblical. But here's what I would say. I would say that a lot of people live in a state of cognitive dissonance or live in a circumstance where all they hear is a certain thing and they can't think beyond it because that's all they've been taught. And for that reason, I have a tremendous amount of charity and grace in my heart, and I just want to communicate the truth and then ask people not to accept what I say, but test what I say in light of Scripture and hold fast to the good.
Is there anything you might have that's complimentary that I could share with other people to help them see the truth about this? Just this kind of teaching that we're discussing?
Yeah. You know, I wrote a book on it. It is called The Apocalypse Code, Find Out What the Bible Really Says About the End Times and Why It Matters Today. And in that book, I lay out how dispensationalism started. It's a very modern idea. It's a 19th century idea, so it's very new in church history. But the fact that it's new doesn't mean it's not true, but it does mean we ought to examine it carefully in light of Scripture, and when you do, you find out it isn't true. It starts with the notion that God has two distinct people with two distinct plans, necessitating two distinct phases of the second coming, a secret coming, and then a second coming separated by 7 years. And the notion is wholly imposed on the Scripture. It's not extracted from the Scripture.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like they're trying to support something using Scriptures falsely.
Well, it is an abuse of Scripture, in my view. But again, I while I disagree with dispensationalists, I mean, I certainly find many of them to be wonderful brothers and sisters in the Lord, and I have great commonality with them. I stand shoulder to shoulder with them on essential Christian doctrine. As far as the secondary issues, we debate them vigorously, and ultimately, we don't divide over them.
Right, so I don't guess that I have to spend too much time trying to admonish these people. I mean, how should I deal with them?
Well, I think it's really important because ultimately it has to do with reading the Bible for all it's worth. It has to do with the difference between eisegesis, where you are imposing something on the Scripture, and exegesis, where you're taking out of the Scripture what the Lord has placed in the Scripture.
Okay.
Again,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, I've written about this in various places. In fact, one of the places I was just thinking about that I wrote about this as well is Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. There's a section at the end of that book that actually deals with this subject as well.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for clarifying this.
You got it, Sean. Thank you so much for your call. By the way, if you're an existing member of the Bible Answer Man support team, please consider helping us close out our funding gap with an extra gift. You know, we're at the end of the month, so we still need to meet our June 30th deadline and continue doing the vital ministry God has called us to. We need your help. God's people standing together can make this funding gap, close it up, make it disappear. We're asking you to do that prayerfully and financially. If you're not a member and you see the life-changing impact that the Christian Research Institute is having, please prayerfully consider joining the monthly Bible Answer Man support team today. And for your monthly gift of $25 or more, I'd be pleased to send you a personalized copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. If you already have that, just ask for one of my other books, and I'll be happy to personalize that as well. Back to the phone lines, Lyndon, next in Bakersfield, California, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Lyndon.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I was just, I had a question about the rapture, and I know children under the age of accountability, I believe, are going to be raptured as well, you know, along with all of us who are at the age of accountability. So my question is about the women who are pregnant with babies that are still in the womb, and also maybe just infants, brand new newborns. Are they, what happens to them? Are they going to get raptured also, or do they, the ones who are inside the womb, do they have to end up going through the tribulation?
Oh, well, you know, there's no indication in the whole of Scripture that there's going to be a future tribulation. That does not mean that there has not been tribulation in the past. There most certainly has been tribulation in the past. One can scarcely forget the enormous tribulation that was predicted or prophesied by Daniel came to pass under Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, or the tribulation that Jesus Christ spoke about, looking back at what happened with respect to the prophecies of Daniel. But there's no indication that we're going to go through a seven-year tribulation in any case in the future. However, having said that, Jesus made clear that in this world you'll have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So the whole notion of a pre-tribulational rapture or a secret coming of Jesus Christ and then 7 years in which the vast majority of Jews are bludgeoned to death on earth is I think an imposition on the Bible. It's not something that you find anywhere in the Bible. I've been asking people for years and years to show me where a verse or collection of verses even hints at such a thing. And to date, no one has shown me either a verse or a collection of verses that does such a thing.
Okay, so dealing with the tribulation, the seven-year tribulation is what I was meaning.
Yeah, but that's exactly what I was meaning as well. I was saying, what I'm saying, this is what is going to happen. we don't know the future. We don't know when Jesus Christ is going to appear a second time. But when he does, all who are alive will be translated from mortality to immortality. And that's what Jesus said. Do not be amazed at this. The time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live and some will rise to be eternally condemned. So those who have died before the second coming of Jesus Christ, their souls are now in Hades, in the abode of the dead. Those souls will return to bodies, and those bodies will be resurrected. Those who are alive will be transformed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And so all will then be raised. Again, going back to the words of Jesus, do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. So the notion that some will come out, during a secret coming, and some will, be resurrected later on. I mean, this is something that is imposed on Scripture. Certainly, does not come from the clear teachings of Scripture. But as to your specific question, I mean, I could address what happens when Jesus appears a second time. If a woman is pregnant, that child is going to be transformed just as the woman is going to be transformed. Because while the child is not born, if it's a preborn child, it is still one that has personhood, not a fully developed personality, but full personhood. And therefore, they will be transformed. And what happens is when we are in the resurrection, we will be at the complete perfect state for all eternity, which is to say that we will not be an infant or an old person, but we will be in the flower of our youth, our DNA having developed to complete perfection and being so for all eternity, because in heaven there is no devolution. Going to stay here for an extra hour once we go off the air, continue taking your calls, a lot of you hanging on. But I'll also be taking calls from those who start dialing in right now. 888-ASK-HANK is the number to dial. It translates to 888-275-4265. Again, for the next hour, I'll be here answering your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you're hanging on, be patient. If you're dialing in, again, the number 888-ASK-HANK for the next hour. I'll be answering your calls. Thanks for everybody else tuning in today. Look forward to next time with more.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer difficult Bible questions, and strengthen believers in their walk with the Lord. To find resources to help equip you, log on to equip.org. That's equip.org, or call us at 888-7000-CRI. Feel free to write us also at CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. Did you know that June is one of the most important months for the Bible Answer Man broadcast? That's because we close out another financial year, and to do so successfully, we must receive $650,000 in gifts from friends like you by June 30th. So if the Bible Answer Man broadcast has helped equip you in your walk with Christ, please help us reach this critical goal through your gift today. With your gift, you'll help CRI impact more lives with His truth and equip Christians as true disciples of Christ. Your gift matters. CRI is entirely supported by people like you who share our sense of urgency to equip all Christians to give an answer for the hope we have. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI, or you can give online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Have you ever wanted to listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast on your phone or handheld device? Now you can with the Equip iPhone app available for free from the Christian Research Institute. With the Equip iPhone app, you can take the Bible Answer Man with you wherever you go. Listen to the broadcast live, listen to archived programs, 3-minute Ask Hank features, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ.
All of this available for free from the Christian Research Institute. So go online to equip.org and click on the Equip iPhone app banner and download this free app today. Or go to equip.org/app. That's equip.org/app. The Equip iPhone app is compatible with iPhone 5, iPhone 4, 4S, 3GS, iPad, iPod Touch, and requires iOS 6.